We just say to you that we do have the annual week of prayer at the beginning of January. It has been the custom of the Free Presbyterian Church to gather its ministers together and its Christian workers and missionaries who are on furlough, some who are home evangelists. And we gather together at a certain venue each year, and we spend Monday through Friday in the place of prayer. Around about 10 o'clock in the morning we begin. There are two sermons each day, and then we finish around about 5:30 in the evening. There is a little break for lunch and so on, and we pray through the various aspects of the work of God. And we're thankful to the Lord that even though we could not meet physically, we're able to meet virtually, and we had our Zoom prayer meetings. We were in one large room, then the moderator spoke to us, and then the hosts were able to section us off into different rooms, and then there was a coordinator of that room, and we had the preaching of the word, and then there was the breaking up for prayer. And we're thankful to the Lord that there was a tremendous spirit. I know it's a strange thing when you're praying, and you don't know whether people are listening, or you don't know whether you have unmuted your microphone, whether people are actually there, but we do hear the odd amen coming through when folks haven't muted. We're thankful to the Lord. There was a tremendous spirit of prayer in each room that we were in, and I know, talking to other men as well, that they certainly felt we met with God. And I just want to tell you that we did meet with the Lord. And tonight I just want to give you a little flavour of the week of prayer. It's interesting when ministers and Christian workers and missionaries gather, when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God and the ministry of that Word and the specifics of it, just exactly what the Lord would say to those who are in full-time service, to those who He has called to preach and to labour and to serve and to work for Him in full-time service and in the high and holy calling of ministry. It's remarkable just how the Lord deals with us, how He brings some things to our remembrance, and how He encourages in the things that we were meditating on. And then He brings the word with freshness, and this year was no exception. It is the responsibility of the present moderator always to begin the week of prayer in preaching. That duty fell upon our present moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong from our Dungannon congregation. And he preached on Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. There we discover that God was speaking to His people, and they had come out of Egypt. They were tried. They were tested. They had been miraculously brought out by the Passover lamb, the shedding of the blood. And then they were to move into the land and possess the land. There were battles and there were trials and so much temptation. And the Lord gave them wonderful promises by the way. As they were on the march, as they took ground, as they began to settle, as they began to increase, as they possessed the land, at certain junctures, God gave to them some wonderful promises. And the Reverend Armstrong highlighted for us some of those promises that God gave to His people, and emphasized in Deuteronomy 11, verses 10 to 12, and the text being verse 12, just the wonderful promises of God that His eye would be upon the land, and that He would give that land to His people. It's a land that the Lord thy God careth for. And He emphasized that the word careth means that the Lord goes up and down in, and His eye is always upon it. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year, there is that totality of God's care for His people and preservation of His national people. Of course, He applied that spiritually to the church today and to believers, that from the beginning of the year right to the end of the year, the Lord will care for us. He will go before us. He will be with us. I was encouraged because that's the very sentiments of our motto text here in Cumber, where the Lord said that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? And while they were to possess the land, it wasn't going to be easy. And each year would present itself with its various trials and difficulties. And then he reminded us just in his outline, and that's all I will seek to do, to give you a brief outline of what the message really was. That was the introduction, and he brought us then to consider the time of the Lord's care. And of course, that meant that there were certain times in the year when they would be discouraged. There were certain times whenever they would be disheartened and they would need a word from God. But God would always give them that word at the right time. It'd be so much encouragement to them, and the time of the Lord's care would be continually. And then you have the totality of the Lord's care. And he emphasized from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And therefore, we can place this year, 2021, into the hand and care of our God. For from the beginning to the end, the Lord will go before us. And the Lord will be with us. And then there was that trust in the Lord's care. You see, every year Israel was dependent on the Lord. In Egypt, they had all by way of soil and fields, and they had the River Nile. But when they were entering into the Promised Land, they didn't have that water supply. They didn't have the irrigation for the land. They were dependent on the Lord. And from the beginning of the year to the end, they needed the early rain and they needed the latter rain. And therefore, whenever they were cultivating their crops and they were laboring in the field, they needed the early rain in order to boost the harvest. And then they needed the latter rain to bring the harvest to fruition. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust in the Lord as we labor this year, that he would give us the early rain to boost the harvest. And then he would give us the latter rain to bring it to fruition. Because without the Lord, without God's blessing, that's what the rain symbolizes, the word of God and God pouring out the showers of blessing upon his dear people. And we can trust the Lord that he will give us the early and the latter rain. And therefore we had a great start to the week of prayer. And then after that, we then met for our season of prayer, and we began by praying through the various works in the province and further afield. Monday was given over to the churches in County Tyrone. I not name them all, but they're there, and also in County Londonderry. We also prayed for our youth council, the education board and our Christian schools, the Whitfield College of the Bible, its principal, lecturers, staff, students, and the academic and management committees. We prayed through them on the Monday, right to about lunchtime or so. About 11:30, 11:45 or so. And then I did say to you that I would remember the aspects of the work personally. I didn't do it publicly in front of the camera. I just then muted, and then I brought the work encumber to the Lord. And on Monday, I prayed for the session and for the committee and for their wives and for their families. That was Monday for Cumber. And then we had the collective prayer for the various churches in the counties and those other works. And then came Tuesday in the will of the Lord, and the Reverend Peter McIntyre was asked to preach on Tuesday morning. And he did so from Daniel chapter 9 on the subject of prayer. And he spoke about Daniel and his friends, how they had been taken into captivity. The Lord's people needed healing and they needed help during those 70 years of terrible captivity. And of course, Daniel began to earnestly seek after God. And from his earliest days, he was marked out as a child of God. And one of the characteristics of Daniel's life was his prayers. And in chapter 9 of his book, we read about that prayer of Daniel. Peter brought us to consider the inspiration that was behind this prayer, because he had understood by books, that is, the book of Jeremiah, that 70 years would transpire and then God would bring his people back to Jerusalem again. And so Daniel understood that. And therefore the inspiration behind his praying was the promises of God and the word of God And we were encouraged to remember the many promises of God, to be inspired by them, and to seek after God and plead those promises before the Lord, that we might have God answer what He's already said He would do. And our strength before God is as strong as God Himself, the very word that He has spoken and the promises that He has given. And so He spoke about the inspiration in His prayer. And then He spoke about the humiliation in His prayer. For in that chapter 9, we'll not go through it all. He was fasting, so He was denying the flesh. And then He confessed the sins, for He was in sackcloth and ashes, a sign of mourning. It wasn't a death, it was the fact of backsliding. He spoke about the confession of the nation's sin and confession of His own unworthiness. He spoke about confusion of face before the enemy. He spoke about Israel having sinned and rebelled against the Lord, and He used the term "we," and He put Himself in there as one who was guilty. That's the way He put His name in. And we had disobeyed Thee. We have all transgressed. And Peter brought to our attention that before we can receive any blessing from God, we must seek earnestly His face and humble our hearts before the Lord. 2 Chronicles, of course, chapter 7 and the verse 14 comes to mind. And then His petition through His prayer. We were encouraged to seek the Lord's face. And in verse 17 of chapter 9 of Daniel, he prayed that the Lord would cause His face to shine. And in verse 19, he would defer not to do this. So not long after this prayer was prayed, God raised up Zerubbabel, and God raised up Ezra, God raised up Nehemiah, and there were three exodus from the land of Babylon, and it was through the prayer of Daniel that these men and the remnant returned, built the temple, and to that temple our Lord Jesus Christ came and walked in Solomon's porch and preached the gospel. And so they did a better work with that temple than they did with Solomon's temple, because the glory of that latter house became greater than the former, because Christ incarnate, the Son of God, came to that temple. Be encouraged to pray, because God hears and answers prayer. And then on Tuesday we prayed for Let the Bible Speak. We prayed for our mission board and our missionary council. We also prayed for our missionaries right across the world. We prayed for our home evangelists as well. In there was Kenya and Uganda, Liberia, India, Pakistan, Nepal, the Philippines, Spain, the Republic of Ireland, Home Mission, and Mexico. And then we prayed for the churches in County Armagh, named every one of them, their ministers and those that were vacant. And we prayed for God's move by His Spirit. And we prayed for the south of Ireland, although there were no vacant churches in County Armagh when I look here, but we were praying for those that have been vacant right throughout these other churches in County Londonderry and so on. Then for the southern Ireland, for Corrigarry and Convoy, and for the Consider Christ Outreach, and for the Book of Church Order Committee. So we covered quite a bit of ground. And then on Tuesday, I had my own personal prayer, and that was for Cumber, and I prayed for the congregation. I want to tell you that I prayed through the list that I have, and I prayed, as far as I'm aware, and I don't see anyone at the moment or even comes to mind that I missed, I prayed for every single man, woman, young person, boy and girl, both saved and unsaved, in connection with this congregation. A vast list, and I prayed through it all. I told you that I would pray for the work of God here, and while we had our collective prayer, I also had that season of private prayer as well. Then came Wednesday, the week fairly moves on, and the Reverend David McMillan this time was charged with preaching the word, and he did so from Daniel chapter 2, and he reminded us again of the title, What to Do in a Crisis. Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed a dream, and he had asked his wise men and counselors and all the astrologers to interpret the dream for him, and not one of them could do it. And then he threatened that if they didn't do it, he would put every one of them to death. And remember this, Daniel wasn't there at the time, but he was one of Nebuchadnezzar's wise men. And so was Daniel's three friends. For they had been exalted into the province and in the kingdom in Babylon. God had raised them up to high office. And they were in there. And that threat of putting to death was upon Daniel. Now, Daniel wasn't there when the king dreamed the dream. Now, he wasn't there when he issued the threat of death. But when he found out, he said to one of those men close to the king, look, go to the king and ask him to give me a bit of time. And if you give me a bit of time, I will get an answer from God concerning his dream. Because you see, what happened was Nebuchadnezzar didn't want to lose this dream. And he thought, if you buy time, if you don't do it now, if you buy time, then I'll forget and then you'll deceive me. Tell me now the interpretation. And they couldn't do it. But Daniel, he taught us a great lesson, what to do in a crisis. And we're in a crisis today with this pandemic in the earth and in our province and with the legislation and regulations and the pressure that's on us. And therefore, we were encouraged what to do in a crisis. And of course, the action that Daniel took and his three friends took was that they prayed and they took the matter to the Lord in prayer. So not only here, but at other times, you will find Daniel at prayer. That tied well in with the message that we heard as well from our brother Peter concerning Daniel whenever he prayed in chapter 9. And he prayed collectively with his friends, with those three friends. But he also prayed privately, as in chapter 9. So we find Daniel opened his windows to heaven and toward Jerusalem. And he prayed as well three times a day on his own. So you have collective prayer and you also have private prayer. And so there is a need for us to pray collectively. But there's a need to pray continually because it spoke about God giving him an answer in the night visions. And so it seems Daniel and his friends prayed through the night. And there were seasons of prayer that were protracted. They lasted all night. I know that the Lord would give us such a spirit that we would pray night and day without ceasing unto the Lord. And they prayed clearly, for they says that mercies might be shown to them before the king and their lives would be spared. So they prayed clearly. They weren't generalizing. They were specific. They prayed collectively and they prayed continually and clearly. And so what to do in a crisis is to pray. And then we noticed his power, because he was very bold. He was full of courage. He was able to tell the king, I will give you an answer from God. And he wasn't afraid to tell the king that God would give him an answer. And he would do so when he met with him in prayer. And then we noticed his patience, for he asked the king, give me time. And God will answer prayer in his time. And so he wasn't working on Nebuchadnezzar's time. He said to the king, give me time and we'll get an answer from God for you. And that's exactly what happened. And he never gave the time to the others, by the way. He wouldn't let them buy time. But he allowed Daniel patience. And we need to exercise patience in these days. And in a crisis, we need to pray. And we need courage and power with God. And we also need patience. We need to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. He will strengthen our hearts. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted among the nations. And then we spoke about finally his prudence. What to do in a crisis. We need wisdom. He spoke about getting counsel and wisdom from God. And we need wisdom to do the right thing. It's not always going to be popular. It's not always going to be acceptable. The decisions to open or close the church is very divisive at the moment. And we need the wisdom of God. And we need patience to wait upon the Lord. Better times are ahead. God, it will work. We'll have times for evangelism. I'm sure we'll have times for our family nights. We'll have times for our fellowship and our suppers. We'll have times for our barbecues, for meeting with our young people, for working together, for mingling, for fellowship. We'll have times for outreach. But we've got to have patience. And then we need prudence. That during this time of lockdown, these regulations that are upon us, and seasons when the church is open and we're still regulated by certain laws. We just need to be patient and just wait on the Lord. And we believe that God will give us the wisdom to know how to handle the crises. By patience and wisdom, God used Daniel to bring great deliverance to the land of Babylon and to his three friends and to those other counselors as well. May the Lord give us wisdom and patience in these days. And then on Wednesday, we had our season of prayer. This time we moved across the province to County Down, which included Cumber, as you know, praying for the churches and for the vacancies, for the interim moderators. We also prayed for the County Antrim churches. County Down and Antrim have quite a number of Free Presbyterian churches. We prayed for them all, and we also prayed for our presbytery, for the moderator, the officers, for the ministers and elders, and the boards, committees, and all the commissions. And also on Wednesday, it was time for personal and private prayer, having prayed for the session and committee, their wives and families, having prayed for the entire congregation on Tuesday, and then took the work of God in this house to the Lord, and prayed for the Sunday school and the children's work, for the youth work on a Friday night, and the young adults, for the outreach, for the media team, and also for the regular services on the Lord's Day, and for the prayer meetings here in the house, the Friday night, the Sunday morning and evening, the Tuesday night Bible study and prayer meetings, the evangelism, the finance, the need of the church, whatever that need is presented, and prayed through so many things in regard to the church. And I just feel I met with God. I felt so content that the work was put into his hand, and I felt assured and very confident that this year God's in control and the work is his. And we're going with God. Thursday came, just one day left after this for the week of prayer. The Reverend Curran Salt, who's a minister in our Ockalee congregation, he preached from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through to 30. He preached about Antioch. He reminded us that it was a very wicked place. It was given over to immorality. I didn't realize Antioch was like that, for God founded a tremendous church there. And they were first called Christians in Antioch, and it had some great spiritual pastors and leaders, had that little church in Antioch. But giving us the background to Antioch, it really inspired us, encouraged us to see that God can work anywhere. No matter how wicked and evil a city is, no matter how depraved the people are, no matter how sinful society has become, it's nothing to the Lord to call out a people for himself, and to build his church, and to bless that church. And that's exactly what happened in the church at Antioch. And we learned some things concerning Antioch, and especially the association of Barnabas with that church. And it spoke of Barnabas as an individual in that church. And this is the type of person he was. So we looked at an individual from that church in Antioch, and it was Barnabas. We thought about his devotion. He was a good man. We saw his sincerity. He sold land and he gave it to the work of God. Then his surrender. He was full of the Holy Ghost. The Lord had every part of his life. He was filled with the Spirit. And then his steadfastness. He was full of faith. That is, he was an individual who was steadfast in his walk with the Lord. And then we also considered not only his devotion, but his delight. In verse 23 of Acts 11, it tells us that he was glad when he saw the disciples and the work of God and the grace of God in the lives of these individuals. His joy was in the Lord and what the Lord had done. And he had the right focus in life. We often look at the negative. We look at the things that's discouraging and disappointing. And then we murmur and we complain and we depress our soul and our minds even more. But Barnabas had the right focus. And he brought us to consider that his delight was in what the Lord was doing and what the Lord had done rather than things around him. And that was very appropriate, I believe, and applicable to our day and generation. And then his dedication was noted, that he exhorted those believers when he saw them in Antioch to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. And to cleave means to abide in Christ. That's what it means. And purpose means to be, have a determination to follow Christ. And so here's a man that was telling others to do what he was doing himself. His dedication. He exhorted them to cleave to the Lord. And that's what we were told to do. Isn't that remarkable? God speaks to ministers and he's telling us, I want you to cleave to me. Abide in me. I want you to, with determination and purpose of heart, follow after me and go after me and pursue me. In these days, we all need to cleave to the Lord and hold fast and hold tight and abide in Christ and go on with God. And Thursday brought to my mind not only the work of God collectively, because we were praying and I prayed all these things personally as well as we did collectively. We prayed for the work on the mainland, remembered England and Bridlington and Bristol and Lewis, remembering our brother Philip and his wife Valentina and family, Liverpool and the vacancy there, the Reverend Brown as he is the oversight, in London our brother Patrick as he is the oversight of Tavistock, Alton Broad with our brother Kyle Paisley and the work there in Tavistock. We also prayed for Scotland, the work in Gardenstown, the Reverend David McLaughlin, who's interim moderator, and the wee congregation there. And we prayed for individuals that we know there and for those that have been bereaved, our sister Janet and so on and so on. We prayed also for Ruther Glen, the Reverend Wesley Irwin and his wife Jennifer. And then we thought of Wales, thinking of Martha Tidville, the Reverend Nigel Smith, Ruth and the family. And the Isle of Man, overseen by the retired minister, the Reverend Wesley Madole, and we prayed too for the Mainland Commission and we sought the Lord. And then I prayed personally for the work of God here in connection with Cumber, and on Thursday I concentrated on the sick and the sorrowing, those of you who are not well, those who have suffered the loss of a loved one, those who haven't been well spiritually and physically, and we're thankful to the Lord we're able to carry you to the Lord in prayer and place you into the hand of God. And then on Friday we had the close of the week of prayer, and at the close of that week of prayer, generally after we finish preaching and prayer time, we would have a time of praise. We didn't have it this year. We would sing quite a number of hymns and so on, just a few verses. It's always a really wonderful time after praying, getting alone with God, meeting with God, and then just finishing on that high of praising the Lord. There's nothing like it. If you ever were there, you would understand what I mean. It's so touching and it's so emotional. And what a blessing. What a blessing, I believe, that was. We missed that this year, but we got a great word from our brother, the Reverend John Woods, on Friday morning. And he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ from Hebrews 4, our great exalted high priest. And what a comfort, what a word to finish with, to bring our attention to Christ, that we might fix our eyes on him and remember that we have one in glory who cares for us, loves us, sympathizes with us, and prays for us. And he's our great exalted high priest. And he spoke about the great high priest we have. He spoke about we have a successful high priest. That is, his sacrifice was accepted on our behalf. He elaborated upon the work of the cross, the shed blood of the Lamb, that one great offering for sins forever that gives us peace with God, sins forgiven and eternal life, satisfies divine justice, turns away divine wrath, and brings a sinner into everlasting union with God. Then we have a sympathetic high priest, one who is touched. And there's a double negative here, he emphasized and he revealed to us and shown to us, that double emphasis where it says that we have not an high priest who cannot. So there's a double negative in order to emphasize the positive. What we have an high priest, we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He highlighted the sympathy of Christ, bringing out from the Gospels Christ's compassion and sympathy, and then applying it to our hearts, and then bringing us into that tender thought and that sympathetic thought concerning Christ, who sympathizes, who empathizes with us, who understands, and he has the quality of mercy. And then we have a sinless high priest In other words, he's without sin. He did no sinning, he knows sin. Therefore, he will be heard in heaven. He will be heard in heaven. His work and his worthiness will guarantee that our high priest who's praying for us, his prayers will be answered and we will be helped. And then finally he brought the thought that we have a great privilege to come to God in prayer. That we are, because of Christ, our high priest, we are to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain those two wonderful Christian values and virtues, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And I tell you, if we obtain mercy for sinners, what a difference that'll make. If we obtain mercy from God for our nation and for the denomination and for many others that are faithful to the blood and book outside our denomination, I tell you, if we obtain mercy from God for our families, if I obtain mercy from God tonight for myself, and I find grace to help in time of need, what a tremendous blessing we have. And we can have that. Why? Because we have an high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and he's able to succor them that are tempted. Friday brought us to consider in the collective prayer the city of Belfast, our capital city, and the various churches connected with Belfast, John Knox and the Reverend Woods himself, the Martyrs Memorial, the Reverend Ian Brown, and Ockram Street, which is in Finnegay, and also Ockram Street, which is Sandy Row, and then Carrie Duff, the Reverend David McLaughlin, and then the work in Finnegay. We have Mount Marion, Ron Johnson, the present time, is the interim moderator. We have our brother Garth Wilson, and the work in Sandown and the Hollywood Sunday School, and then Tyndale Memorial Free Presbyterian Church there in the village area of Belfast, and the Reverend Brian McClung, who oversees that at the present time. And we prayed for the vacancies there as well. We prayed for County Fermanagh, and we remembered Enniskillen and the Reverend James Porter, and also we prayed for Keshe and the Reverend Raymond Robinson. We also prayed for the land of Australia, for Lock, for Perth, Port Lincoln and Tasmania, for Philip Gardner and his wife Cherith and family and the work there in Perth, and for Kyle and Eppie and little Abaya and the work in Lock and Port Lincoln, and then for the Reverend Rolf Hall and his wife Tanya and family in Tasmania. We also prayed for the prison chaplains and the university chaplains. We prayed for the North American Church in Canada and in America. Quite a number of names that we were trying to get through on that occasion. We prayed for the Free Presbyterian Church of Nepal, for the Reverend Paul Thapa and our sister Joy Gillespie. We prayed also on Friday for all our retired ministers, and we had a tremendous time. And then there was an additional prayer request that came in to us. They were huge. I have them all written here. I'm not going to go into them. But we did pray for ministers who were unwell, and then we prayed for ministers' wives and their family circles, the sons and daughters of the manse. And then whatever else the Lord brought to us that week in our family, among our community and friends, I just want to tell you that we met with God. And then in my personal prayers, I again brought the work of God here in connection with Cumber on Friday, and I prayed for the area and for the vicinity, and prayed for as much as I could of a local area. I did go further afield and probably transgressed into some other person's parish, as they would call it, or you overstep the boundary. We labour there, but if we can see sinners saved anywhere, does it matter? I prayed for Cumber and for Moneyray and for Ballou and Lisbane and Colinchy, Ballystockard, Newton Ards, and other little areas around here, that God would give us mercy and favour and help us to reach the lost for Christ. And we prayed for the work of God. We certainly brought it to the Lord in prayer. And what a blessing that week has been. Thank you for praying for me. And as I told you and I assured you, that I would be praying for you as well. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to